look in this passage of Scripture. We have been talking about worship, and the songs and all have kind of prepared us. You're going to have good days and bad days. Amen? And you've got to learn to rejoice in the Lord in bad days. Because Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. So how many of you are going to have trouble? Raise your hand. Every one of you. And as a matter of fact, you're going to have a lot of trouble. Man's days are few and full of trouble. And if you don't worship him in trouble and in bad times, then you won't worship him a whole lot. So, and the thing about it I want you to get is that worship is a liberating thing. Just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. And thank God, like that wonderful song Jana just sang, just remember what he did for you. Amen. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture. If some of you are been here a long, long time, you may remember me preaching on this passage of Scripture, but it was a long time ago. And so I hope you don't remember all of it anyhow. But in 2 Samuel, and I'll tell you, there's a reason that God led me here. In 2 Samuel, David is of course, king now, and he's wants to bring the ark. And that's been a long story, and the travel of the ark and so on. That's the Ark of Covenant, you know, with the mercy seat and the seraphims and the manna and the law and all that contained in it. It represents the very presence of God. And it goes inside the tabernacle in the Holy of Holiest. And that represents the presence and power of God. And God came to meet with him. He would come down in a cloud and he would meet with a high priest back in that Holy of Holiest there in between the two seraphims on that mercy seat. Meets us at the place of mercy. And can I tell you, that's where he meets every one of us. He met every one of us initially at the place of mercy. Thank God for mercy in our lives. Now, David is wanting to bring the ark there. And there's a thing that happened. He tries to bring it on a new cart, try to use the Philistines' mode of worship, and it didn't work. But anyhow, now he is bringing the ark back to the city of David. And look at chapter number 6 of 2 Samuel and look at verse number 12. And it was told David the king, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom in all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed offerings and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came to the city of David, Micah, Saul's daughter looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now, this is his wife. She's the daughter of Saul. But she sees David, and he's shouting and dancing and rejoicing before the Ark of Covenant. And it's an embarrassment to her that he's shouting. It's an embarrassment to her. Here he is, the king of Israel. And he is dancing and shouting and rejoicing and praising the Lord. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dwelt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as the women as the men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house, and David returned to bless his household. And Micah, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious. Now, she's not complimenting him here. She's really criticizing him. And how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servant as one of the vain fellows shouting shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said to Micah, it was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father, and before his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord of Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. I leave it off. She says to David, David, you out there shouting and rejoicing and praising God, you really didn't embarrass me, and you were not very dignified when you were doing that. And you were just having a spell, really. And that just wasn't proper. It wasn't good, right. Anyway, he looks at her and he says this. He says that it was before the Lord. He said, I wasn't interested in anybody else. I was worshiping the Lord. And he chose me and he appointed me king in the place of your daddy. You know what he's saying to her? He's saying, listen, he said, I was a shepherd boy. I was just on the backside of the desert. And I had brothers who were strong and they were able. And he said, but God didn't choose them to be king. God anointed me as king when I was just a little boy, just a shepherd boy. And he was with me as I fought against the lion and the bear and Goliath. And then ultimately, lo and behold, he made me king. You know what he's saying to her? He said, I got something to shout about. Thank God, I was a shepherd boy. Now I'm a king. I don't know about you, but praise God, if you were a shepherd and a poor shepherd and then you became a king, I think you'd have something to shout about too. But can I tell you something else? Paul said, I'm chiefest of sinners. I was a sinner on my way to hell, and so were you. And we were destined to be in hell for all eternity because the Bible said the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was a sinner, you was a sinner. But God, in His marvelous grace, saved me. A little boy from a cotton mill town up here called Roanoke Rapids lived on a dirt road in a little four-room house with an outhouse. How many of you remember an outhouse? Say amen. Oh, amen. Are you glad you don't have an outhouse now? Say amen. 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 Some of the old good old days wasn't so good after all, were they? But listen. Right now, you are a child of a king if you're saved. I mean, you were on your way to hell. And sometimes we forget it. The devil will beat us down. He'll throw everything in the world at us, and we'll forget who we are. We'll forget where he brought us from, and we'll forget that we've got something to shout about. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you now for your mercy and grace. And I pray, God, you would birth in all of us a worship this morning. God, you've been good to us. God, we don't want anything artificial. We don't want anything just pumped up. But God, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God, Lord, would blow across our heartstrings, and Lord, we'd have a song in our heart. I pray, God, that you'd loose every burden, every care, and help us to remember what you did for us. And God, the fact that you saved us. Thank you, Lord, for leading the choir to sing this morning. Brother Brad leading them. Thank you for the song that Jana, God, you laid on her heart. God, help us to remember. God, we've got something to shout about. There's plenty to weep about. There's plenty of trouble. There's plenty of problem. But God, we've got something to shout about. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost will breathe on me now. God, speak to your people. And God, give them a word this morning to help them. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This week I was reading in the New Testament in the book of Luke. And I ran across that passage of scripture where the Bible says that God took the disciples and he gave them the power of the Holy Spirit of God to go out and to preach the gospel and to heal and to cast out demons and all those. And they went out and God blessed their ministry. Everywhere they went, the sick were healed. Demons were cast out. They had the power of God to preach. And when they came back rejoicing that even the demons were subject to them. And here's what Jesus said. He said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. You rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Thank God your name's there. Thank God your name's been written down. Thank God you're saved. Why? Because there'll be times that you won't have a victory. There'll be times you feel like the devil's winning. There'll be times that things come in your life that you can't explain and you wish had never happened. There'll be awful phone calls in the middle of the night. There'll be tragedy in your family. There'll be financial reversal. There'll be sudden sickness. But my dear friend, there's one thing, if you're saved by the grace of God, that won't ever change. Your name's written up there. Thank God for that. If you're saved, you're saved. Number one, I want to this morning to tell you, you ought to thank the Lord that you got a salvation that's sure. You got a salvation that's sure. Look in the book of Isaiah. Will you turn over to the book of Isaiah real quick this morning? In Isaiah in chapter number 44, listen, he's speaking, of course, to Israel. But the application I think we can apply to us in our situation. Notice the first word of Jana's song in verse 21. Remember these, remember, remember, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. You remember one thing. I won't ever forget you. You remember one thing that I formed you. You remember this, that I am your Redeemer. It goes on. Verse 22, I blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth unto singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. He said, you ought to sing and shout because he said, I formed you, but then I saved you. Thank God. Oh, listen, he bought you with a price. You're not your own. And you have a salvation that's sure. He's telling Israel, you rejoice in this one thing, that you've got a salvation that's sure. Now, you may have some questions from time to time. The devil will come against you, but you can shout that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We walk by faith and not by sight. And if God saved you, he cannot unsave you. He will not unsave you. You've been born again by the grace of God. You're his child. The Bible says in Ephesians, he has sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. I was listening to Charles Stanley this morning, was reminded of that great truth that when he saved you, he sealed you. And that seal is a mark of ownership. It is a mark of security. He bought you with a price. You're his. How many of you know you're saved? Raise your hand. Praise God. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand. How many of you have ever wondered, the devil's come up, whispered, said you didn't really get saved. And things go wrong in your life, or things happen, and you think things, a new thing, and the devil come up and whisper you, you ain't saved. If you were saved, you wouldn't think that. You wouldn't do that. My dear friend, let me tell you something. God's on the throne. And if he sealed you, you're sealed. If you're saved, you're saved. And you can promise this. He said, if you confess in your heart and with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's his word. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. My dear friend, thank God you got a salvation that's sure. Everything else around you can change. Your physical health can go. Everything around you, your family can go. But one thing's for sure, he has saved you. He's given you everlasting life. And he said, that's what you need to remember. And he told those disciples when they'd gone out, he said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. And I believe this because there'll be times that you'll feel like they're getting the victory. They're getting the victory in your home, getting the victory in your life. But my dear friend, one thing's for sure, he's saved you. You're saved for all eternity. And thank God for that. I'm going to shout. And it said right here, you shout. Shout and sing because of that you know your salvation is secure. But turn over, you're in Isaiah, go back to chapter number 12. Go back to chapter number 12, and let me kind of share this with you. In chapter number 12, look at verse number 6. He said, cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. He said, you ought to shout because God's with you. And all that, listen, he made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can quit shouting when he leaves you, but he said, I won't ever leave you. I'm going to stay with you forever and forever. And he's with you. Oh, listen, he said, can a mother forget her suckling child? Can a natural mother, could she just throw her baby away? Oh, yeah, they do that. They can do that. Oh, it's horrible what's going on in our nation. But he said, though they may do that, he said, I will never forsake you. I'll stay with you through good times and bad. When you're faithful to me and when you're unfaithful, when you're on the mountaintop, when you're in the valley, he said, I'm going to be with you. And you ought to shout because he's with you. You ought to shout because, you know, some of you are married, you get around one another, and you can sense in somebody, in your mate's life, if something's not right or there's something bothering them, you just sense it and you say, what's going on? You can know that. And then you can talk about it. Can I tell you something? He knows every thought that you ever had. He knows everything you're going through. He loves you. And my dear friend, He's got the answer. I don't always have the answer to my wife's situation. She didn't always have the answer to mine. But I'm going to promise you one thing. There's one that'll never leave you that does. He's with you. And as long as He's with you, you ought to shout. As long as you're saved, you ought to worship Him. You ought to praise Him. As long as He's with you, you ought to worship Him and praise Him and thank the Lord for that. You're still in Psalms. Go on back now to Psalms. Go back to Psalms, chapter number 5, the fifth Psalm. Psalms number 5, I want to read to you verse 11. And it said this, let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Notice this. You ought to shout that you have a salvation that's sure. You ought to shout that He is never leave you or forsake you. And here you ought to shout because He's going to defend you. He's going to be with you. Boy, Jana, she's done preached a message in that song, hadn't she? And then that little statement, when your life's falling apart, He might be putting it in the right place. Sometimes you think the worst thing in the world is going on, but God's got a plan. I can't explain all of that, but God has a plan, and He doesn't have an alternative plan. I went this week to Brother Larry Up Church's funeral, pastor of Midway Baptist Church. Oh my, there was, you know, it must have been at least 2,000 people there. That auditorium was just filled, chairs everywhere and overflow and cars everywhere. I got there at 12 and Brother Bob Johnson told me, get there by 12 so you can get a seat. And I got there at 12, didn't start at 12:30. And the guy in the parking lot told me people started getting there at 9:30 that morning. And it was a great service. And I sat there and I thought, Lord, I've never done anything for You. How God's used that man to build that great church and souls were saved, lives were transformed, and people in the ministry and serving God, missionaries around the world, and all of those things. And he was a graduate of North Carolina State University and graduated in engineering, and then later God called him to preach. But they said he was very meticulous in his planning, and he always had a plan, and then he had a backup plan. And that's great from a human standpoint. It really is. And sometimes I don't have a plan. I wish I did. That's the truth. But can I tell you one thing? God has a plan, period. He don't have any backup plans because He knows the beginning from the end. And He's got a plan for your life. And what happened in your life, my dear friend, I can't explain it to you now, but one day you will. God had a plan for your life, period. God had a plan for Job's life. You say, Brother Billy, how can it be? My little girl died. Mine and Regina's little girl died. I can't understand that. I saw some good out of it, and God put something in my heart. God put something in Regina's heart. But I can't explain that. I can't say that was good, but I can just tell you this. I believe God had a plan. I believe God had a plan. I believe He had a plan. And Job, you go to Job and you look at him and look at him. He lost all of his children. I mean, adult children, lost them all. And all of his animals, all his livelihood, and eventually all of his health. But my dear friend, listen, God had a plan. And the Bible said Job worshiped God and did not charge God foolishly. But God had a plan. And can I tell you this, my dear friend? I want to shout this because God is defending me. There's nothing that happens in my life that He doesn't allow. Some things happen to me I don't like. But I'm telling you right now, God has a plan and He is my defender. He's on your side. If God be for us, who could be against us? Thank God, I'm glad He's on our side. He'll never, ever leave us. He'll never forsake us. We are to rejoice in Him and shout, the Bible said in this passage of Scripture, shout, O Israel. because He defends you. And thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord He defends you. Notice over in Psalms again, Psalms number 35. Psalms 35. And will you look with me, please, at verse number 27. Psalms 35 and verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor thy righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His saints. Listen, He said, shout for joy because you're on the right side. Read it. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. If you're on the Lord's side, say amen. Say it right now. If you're on the Lord's side, He said you ought to shout. I'm on the righteous side. I'm this, that, and the other. But what's right is Him. And what He does is right. And what He says is right. And I'm on the right side. And I don't care if it looks like you're winning or losing. If you're on the right side, if you're on His side, thank God for that. He said you ought to shout because you're on the right side. Thank God, if you're standing for His righteous cause, He said, let them continually say, the Lord be magnified. And you ought to just praise Him all the time. I want to stand for right. When the world's on fire, I want to stand for right. What's right? The world may go this way, may do this, that, and the other, but we're going to stand for right. And we're just going to shout because we're standing on the right side. And God's going to work all this out. It's all going to come to pass. I'm going to shout because I've got a salvation that's sure. Amen? You got a salvation that's sure? And listen, I'm going to shout because He's ever present with me. He won't ever leave me or forsake me. I'm going to shout because He defends me. I find that in the Bible. I'm going to shout. I'm going to shout because I'm on the right side. And then I don't have time to deal with all of these, but let me just give you two more. In the book of Zephaniah, you don't have to turn there, but let me flip over there just real quick, and I've got it marked. But in the book of Zephaniah, this wonderful little statement in verse number 14, chapter 3 and verse 14. Sing, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all thine heart, O daughter of Zion. The Lord hath taken away thy judgment, and He's cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee, and thou shalt not see evil anymore. He said, you ought to shout because Jesus is reigning. Jesus is Lord. And we've already dealt with that one time before, but these things don't ever change. Thank the Lord. We shout because Jesus reigns. Is everything going good in your life? Probably not. Because Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. But is Jesus still on the throne? Yes, He is. He said, you shout because Jesus reigned. And then in the book of Joshua, chapter 6, this wonderful story. They come in to get take the city. You remember, Joshua's come and he's looked over that great city of Jericho. And during the night, he sees a stranger, and it's the Lord. And Joshua says to him, did you come to fight with us or fight against us? And he said, neither one. I came to take over. And he said, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're not going to take your sword and your spear right now. He said, I want you to march around this city in total silence. Now, they were not Baptists. I'll just tell you right now. They were not. But they walked around that city. And he said, you're going to do that seven times. And on the seventh time, you're going to go around it seven times. But he said, as you finish that seventh time, he said, then I want you to shout. And he said, if you'll shout, he said, the walls are going to fall flat down. And he said, and shout, and here's the reason, shout because God has given you the city. Can I tell you something? Some of you have got beautiful homes, very comfortable home. We have a beautiful place. Thank God for our home. And it doesn't matter how big it is or how little it is, as long as God's there, it's a good place to live. But can I tell you right now, we're going somewhere else. He has given us a city. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. He's already given you a home. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. thank God. Hey, we ought to shout because we've got a city. Hey, he said he looked and he saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride prepared for the bridegroom. He sort of saw that city. He said, it's 1,500 miles this way. It's 1,500 miles that way. 1,500 miles that way. He said, there's no lights in it. There's no LED lights. There's no fluorescent lights. There's none of that. It's only Jesus. He's a light. Amen. And he lights up that city. There's no sickness there, no sadness there, no tears there. And thank God he's already given it to you. You got your reservation if you got saved. You ought to shout about that, praise God. Amen. You ought to really shout. Hey, listen, you got something to shout about. David told his wife, he said, I couldn't help myself. He said, I've got something to shout about. I used to be a little slave. I used to be a little shepherd boy. And now I'm the king of Israel. I got something to shout about. Can I tell you right now, you may feel good. You may feel bad. You may be wealthy. You may be poor. You may be sick. You may be well. But thank God, if you're saved, you're a child of the king. You got something to shout about. You got a salvation. That's sure. You got a Savior who'll never leave you. You got one who defends you. You're on the right side. And praise God. Listen, he said this. He said he's already given you the city. It's already yours. You just haven't taken possession of it yet. Thank God for that. You have a city, but only if you're saved. Only if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If I wasn't saved, there's a plenty to worry about in this world you're living in. And plenty to worry about. But thank God, listen, as bad as this world is, it's nothing compared to hell. And you may live here, and people say, this life is so terrible and so horrible, I can't stand to live here anymore. But if they only knew, the next step, they'd probably be in hell if they don't know Christ. And man, listen, that's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and forever. But you can be saved. He wants you saved. He said he came and gave his life a ransom. I've been reading through the New Testament just recently, about halfway through his ministry, even before, but around halfway, he started telling them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of my enemies. He said, they're going to mock me. They're going to scourge me. They're going to crucify me. He said, but I will rise again. And can I tell you right now, you're going to go through some tough times down here. But one of these days, all of this will be gone. And he's got a city already prepared for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, somebody said, you ought to shout on credit. I'm not shouting on credit. I've already got the title deed, praise God. It ain't something that might happen. It's something, it is going to happen. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Are you saved? If you're not saved, the way you get saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. Would you bow your heads in prayer? I tried to get through as close as I could to 12 so the radio group could hear. But I'm interested right now in making sure that you hear, the Word of God. I wished I could tell you you could get saved tomorrow. But there's not one person in here, from the youngest to the oldest, that I could tell you you can get saved tomorrow. Because the only authority I have is the Word of God. And the Bible said today is the day of salvation. The only time I could tell you for sure that you could get saved is right now, as a matter of fact. I may not live to come back to the service tonight. You may not live to get home. But I'm just telling you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ loved you. He died for you and shed his blood for you. And right now, on the authority of the Word of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wouldn't you like to know you had a salvation that's sure? Wouldn't you like to know that you had a Savior who would never, ever leave you or forsake you? Wouldn't you like to know that you'd have somebody who would defend you? Somebody who would be there with you through everything you go through, never ever leave you or forsake you. Somebody, my dear friend, who loved you enough to prepare a home for you to live in for all eternity. You don't need to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. Hell's prepared for the devil and his angels, but he's got a wonderful place prepared for those who trust him. The Bible said, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So right now, in the internet audience, the media audience, or in this building, if God the Holy Ghost has nudged you, put a desire in your heart to be saved, that's a supernatural desire. The Bible said that lost people, they're blind, they're deaf, and there's none that seeketh after God. But if there has been awakened in you right now a sense of your own sin and the need of a Savior, that's the work of the Holy Ghost. And he doesn't do that just to deceive you or just to tempt you. He does that so he could point you to Christ. And if he's done that for you, he'll save you right now. Would you, by faith, turn from your sin and turn to the Savior? Will you pray to him and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord, come in my heart and save me right now. I believe you died for me. You bore all my sin in your own body on the tree, and you arose and you're alive. Lord, I accept you now as my personal Savior. Forgive me of all my sin and help me to love you and serve you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. If God spoke to your heart and you prayed that prayer, I sure wish you'd come forward in a moment. Let other people in the church know you've done that. If you have questions or you want somebody else to lead you to pray with you in a prayer or show you the Word of God, they'll do that. But would you stand with your heads bowed, eyes are closed for another moment? Heavenly Father, I pray right now that God, the Holy Ghost, to God to do what I cannot do. Our Father, there are a lot of people in this building that their flesh is weary. Their spirit is depressed. But God, I pray for liberty. I pray, God, they will remember where you brought them from. I pray they will remember that you saved them and forgave all their sin and that you're with them and you're going to take care of them. You will be their defense. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd birth in all of us a spirit of worship and praise and to be like David and say, I just can't help myself. I've got something to shout about. God, I pray, God, that you just help us to rejoice in you, to give expression to the joy we feel in our heart. And Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would deal with folk who are praying about decisions in regard to their Christian life, whatever they need to do, whether it's to unite with this church or some type of Christian service or some act of obedience. God, help them to make that decision. And then, God, I pray that, God, you'd help all of us to love you and serve you. And for those who don't know Christ, Lord Jesus, please bring Holy Ghost conviction that they'll be absolutely miserable until they find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name. Will you continue to pray for another moment? Brother Brad may have a song in his heart. We'll have him sing. And then as he sings, let me invite Christians. You'll not be the first. There are already some around this altar this morning. I've got something to shout about. Can I tell you that I've been preaching all week long, all month long on worship, and sometimes it's a battle for me. Things run through my mind, little things happen physically that the devil is trying to mess you up where you don't worship him. Will you worship him for a few minutes here this morning before you leave? Maybe just raise your hand toward heaven and thank him for saving you. Shout. Rejoice in what he's done for you. He's given us the city. If you're here this morning, God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. I'll meet you here at the front. If God leads you, you come right now.
He cares for me. He's so good.
Just worship him, children.